We spoke how Mashiach coming is a given. We spoke about all the commentators discussing the different ways Mashiach can come. Now we're going to make a division, which I'm going to call the pre-messianic era and the messianic era. Before Mashiach comes and Mashiach coming himself. Mashiach is a person. But as well as a person, it's a time, as referred to as Yemot HaMashiach. We're going to look at a number of sources which are absolutely fascinating. Stuff really gets interesting. Based upon the prophets and other commentaries that are going to try to show us what the world is going to be like before Mashiach comes. In other words, Mashiach is going to come, but things have to be ready for Mashiach. And a number of things have to happen in order for Mashiach to come. Not all of them, by the way, are that good. Some of them are quite uncomfortable, and we're going to see a number of them. Some are agricultural, some are political. We'll see a whole bunch of other things. And some of them, even the Mishnah speaks about, in the Sota, about what people are going to be like before Mashiach comes. And it's not so good. Many of these things, however, are connected to the reaction we as a people have towards those circumstances. Yeah, I don't know if that makes sense right now, but we're going to see that the world is going to be a certain way, which is going to lead us to act in a certain way, which will hopefully bring Mashiach. And part of it is what's going to happen in Israel in order to prepare the land itself for Mashiach. One of the things the prophets speak about, as we're going to see, is that the land of Israel, one of the signs Mashiach is coming, is the land of Israel is going to bloom with lots of beautiful, delicious vegetation, trees, plants, fruits, all of these things. We'll see why specifically that is also a precursor of Mashiach. So it's two things. That's good for us, but it's also a sign of Mashiach coming. Right? So it's needed, but it's also a sign. It can be both. Are you with me? Let's have a look at some of the precursors. King David in Tehillim says, Bonei Yerushalayim, Hashem, God is the builder of Jerusalem. Nidcha Yisrael Ukanes. He shall gather in the ones who are outcasted. So we see two things are juxtaposed by King David. King David is saying, you know what? Hashem is going to build Yerushalayim. But right after he says that, he says, and then he's going to gather in his children from around the world. So we see that the building up of Jerusalem is connected directly to the coming of Mashiach. The building up of Jerusalem is, says the Mitzudas David, the commentators, one of the commentators, Hu Habone, God is the builder of Jerusalem, Latid Yerushalayim, to build up Jerusalem, that they're going to come in. You're going to see that when you see Yerushalayim being built up, that is when all the people are going to enter. Okay? The people are going to enter at that time. There's more on this, we'll come to it, but just the in short, that is a political precursor. When you see lots of buildings coming up, and the Mishnah is going to say, we'll see later, that even when it's so expensive that it's almost virtually impossible for most people to buy property in Yerushalayim. And you may think Yerushalayim was always very, very, very difficult to move to and very expensive and build. Not the way it was. Look at the descriptions of Yerushalayim 70, 80, 90, 100 years ago. Empty, not particularly safe for Jews to move there, not easy for us to move there. Not rich community, actually very poor community. Now, you've got to be a millionaire just to touch anything. Right? Small apartments, hundreds of thousands of dollars. Every time you go there, Baruch Hashem, you see cranes building new towers and new towers and new towers, and each one of them is, it's prophecy before our eyes. That's what King David was saying. This is Mamish Nevuah of Kaim Mashiach. Says the Gemara next page, you're going to see a flourishing of all the land of Israel, not just Yerushalayim. Umaru la'omar, kibbutz galiot, lachar brachas hashanim. Why do the sages institute the blessing of the ingathering the exiles? This is in the Amidah. Right after we bless the shanim with parnasah, right, with money, bountiful years. And he says, I'll tell you why. We mention it because this is actually the order. This is from the Gemara Megillah. We'll see Rashi. This order is important because you're going to see that the Jews are going to start to gather in Israel after we see, as Yechezkel Ezekiel said, that the mountains of Israel are going to give forth their branches and bear fruit. So when you see the agricultural produce growing in Yerushalayim, says Ezekiel the prophet, 36:8, right? Why? La'ami Yisrael ki karvu lavo, because my people are very close to returning, says Ezekiel. So there's a connection. Why would that be? And that's why it's in that order in the Amidah. First of all, we pray for bracha, right? Sustenance. And then we say, oh, bring the Jews back, because the two are going to come together. And that's why Rashi says, Alma, that's the implication, kibbutz goliot, the return of the Jewish people to Israel, beis brachas hashanim, there'll be a time of bountiful harvests. When you see the land, right, coming back, again, once again, 100 years ago, there was a, Israel was a dust bowl. Nothing was growing there. Right? You think, oh, Jaffa orange, it was really very difficult to grow anything, you know. If you look at the writings of Mark Twain in, what was that book he wrote? Innocence Abroad, I think it was called, or something like that. He talks about it, he says, I walked through, and he was actually very pro-Jewish, pro-Israel. And Uriah says, I've come to this country, it's dark, it's all desert, nothing growing here. Right? The Jews came in and whoop, turned it all around. And not only that, we're exporting the knowledge of other countries. So you know Africa? I'll tell you I can grow fruits and vegetables. We've got this great methodology. Tremendous Kiddush Hashem, by the way. Right? We have this great methodology for you to grow your plants even better. We know how to turn a desert and make it bloom. That is one of the simanim, according to Chazal, that Mashiach is coming. Why would that be? So the commentators are saying, fascinating. One is, you need to have all these trees and stuff, because when we're out in the fields working, we're going to have protection. But another reason is, because it's miraculous. We've turned a desert into agricultural haven, which just no one seems to be able to do. And we have the ability, the knowledge, and the schut in order to do it. So the other nation is going to be like, wow, how did you guys do that? That's a Kiddush Hashem. Right? And that's all part of the messianic prophecy that Ezekiel and others are speaking about. That's two. There's many, many more. I'm just giving you a few. We'll look at a bunch more later. There's many, many, many more. It says in Bereishis, actually the parasha we're reading right now, by the way, that the two following phrases appear one after the other. They're seemingly unrelated, actually they're related. It says about Yishmael, Al pnei kol echav nafal. He's going to fall upon all his brothers. The Eile told us Yitzchak. These are the generations of Yitzchak. So it's two separate verses. One speaking about the descendants of Yishmael, who fell before his brothers. And then it says, oh, now Yitzchak has generations. The Baal HaTurim, right, that's the Tor, says these two verses are put next, rather, in order to teach us something unbelievable about the end of days. Yishmael and his descendants, who are the Arabs today, will at the end of the days fall. And when you see that happening, that's when the Jewish people arise. There is a piece that I have, Rav Chaim Vital, said in his name, written by him about his teacher, the Arizal, who says the following. Actually, there's a fifth galut. There's a fifth galut called the galut of Adam. Adam, man. Who's that referring to? That's a reference to Yishmael, who's referred to as the Pera Adam. Right, Pera means the unbridled. Right? The right, Paro was unbridled. That was Mitzrayim. Right? Priya is part of the sacrifice. You rolled back. It says that there's no coincidence that the holy site in Eretz Yisrael, the holiest site is the Makom Migdash, is occupied by the Bnei Ishmael. But do not worry, because they get the merit of Temple Mount in Olam Hazeh, before Mashiach comes, because of the merit of the Brit Milah that they give their kids, she says. Wild statement. But he says, do not worry. Eventually they'll go, it's hard to believe this, they're going to want to give it back. How do we know this? Because before Yishmael died, he did teshuva. Right? He helped bury his father together with Yitzhak. He let Yitzhak go first in the burial procession. So he says, don't worry, at the end of days, the Ishmaelim, who are actually close to us in the other religions, right, the Muslims, the Arabs, they're going to want to give it back and be like, you know what, it's your turn now. And they're going to hand it over. And that's going to let Mashiach go and build the third temple, which, remember, if you remember for your midterms, is one of the signs it is Mashiach. So they're going to willingly give it over to us. Just like Yishmael did Yeshua at the end of his life. And actually, that's what the word Yishmael means. What did Yishmael mean? Who? Hashem. Hashem will hear the prayers and the tears of the Jewish people right at the end of days when this galut, the fifth galut, Yishmael, they attack us and hurt us and stab us and attack us and we're crying and screaming. Everything's terrible, terrible, terrible. That's the fifth galut, he says. A very short galut. He says, harder than all the ones before it, physically and spiritually in other ways, and that small galut is going to finish it off. Trust me, that's a little wild. To say there's a fifth galut is very unusual. That's what he says. That's what he says. And it's based upon, I mean, not based upon, but we see it over here, hinted at in the Torah as well. The Yishmael goes down, that's where we come up. Okay? And they get merit for what they do. They get merit for what they do. Those are three precursors. We shall look at many, many more in terms of the people and the midot. But before we do, let us have a look at some of the metaphors that are used for the pre-messianic era as the prelude to this new age. Turn to page 13. Let's have a look at the Vilna Gaon. One of the ways that the redemption is referred to is Boker, he says. The Geula Mechuga B'Shem Boker. Okay. Mash Kosef Ata Boker V'Gam Laila. The morning will come, and the redemption, and also the night for the wicked. They will be punished after Mashiach comes and punished. So one of the ways we know is the redemption is morning. Why morning? Because that's when the light comes. Right? V'Kamosha Kodem Shemati La'ir. Because before the light comes, there is darkness. Right? Light follows darkness, and darkness follows light. So too, before Mashiach comes, before the final redemption comes, the morning begins, we're going to have to go through a period of extreme darkness. It's going to be very hard for our people. That's what he says. So too, he's going to give another metaphor. So the first metaphor is night then day. But also, pregnancy, right, and birth. And they're both saying the same thing. You go from pregnancy, and then it gets worse, and worse, and more difficult, and then you go into labor, and it looks like the mother and the child are going to die. Right? She's in extreme pain. The baby is not fit for this. We're living in a bubble of liquid, which is not very conducive to life here surrounded by air, and the baby eventually looks like, and it comes out and it's literally dying, and then in a split second it all inverts, everything turns around, the bright tubes close up, the airwaves open, and the baby's living. So you go from near death to life actually in an instant, from death to life in an instant. We actually mentioned this, if you remember, talk about Purim was the same thing. Remember, the Purim was the holiday that represents Mashiach coming? We go from death to life in an instant. 1 minute, Achresh and Haman are in control, going to wipe out every Jew in the entire world. And then in one instant, V'nafachu, it all turns around. And suddenly, Esther is the queen. She's a prophetess. Haman is dead. And all the Jewish people get to live. It all turns around in an instant. That is the holiday that represents this idea. So, two metaphors and one Jewish holiday to represent the same idea in different ways. Night and then light. You go from labor and the birth pangs, what's called Chevle HaMashiach. That's what it's referring to. The birth pangs of Mashiach. You go from these terrible birth pangs, and suddenly, whoop, it all turns around. Suddenly you go from this, like, screaming. I'm not ruining it for you, right? But I have been present at the birth of, thank God, a number of children, my own only. And you're like, oh my goodness, this is terrible, right? This is not good. Don't worry, ladies, epidural. That's all I have to say. One word, the rest is commentary. My chavrusa is an anesthesiologist. So as a job, one of the things he does, he's done like 2,000 epidurals, and he's in Good Samaritan Hospital. So, you know, a lot of from people over there giving birth. He says his nickname in the hospital is the Candy Man. He's actually doing smicha as well. Good, smart friend of mine. Right, so, but besides that, you go from real, I mean, jokes aside, we go from this near-death experience. It looks like mother's going to die, right? There's blood everywhere. I mean, it's unbelievable. And suddenly, you go to absolute joy in an instant. I don't think there's anything else we do in life that goes from such pain and challenge and difficulty and fear to joy in such a split second. So that is the other metaphor that is used to describe Mashiach. It's going to be very dark. It's going to be very, very difficult. And then suddenly, it turns around. Ginahara kishamit karev haleda. As the birth gets closer, koeved yoter, hurts more. More and more. The kolim yarayonot, right? Starts off fine, and it gets worse and more difficult. V'yeshivat ala mashma, until you're actually there on the birthing stool or bed nowadays. Ken kodem ha-geula, so too before the geula, yechabet ha-galus yoter mekol ha-gulut. It gets worse and worse and worse. Right before the redemption comes the worst part. Right? When the Purim story began, it wasn't so bad. Right, we were allowed to live, and it got worse and worse and worse, and then the final decree came out, and we're all about to be killed, and that was it. Right, the gallows were made for Mordechai, and everyone's about to die, and then it all turned good. Okay, that is the pattern. That is the pattern that works in every gullet, and it's going to be the same in this gullet as well. And this doesn't come just to upset us, it comes to bring us back to Hashem, because when things are very difficult, that's when we cry out to Hashem. Ella Mishen, we have no one to Rishon, Ella. Ella Elavinu Shabashamahajin. Okay. Now check this out. I'm now to give you a absolute perfect description of what society is in 2015. And this was written 2,000 years ago. And this is not a weird Kabbalistic source. This is not the Arizal. It's not the Kabbalah. This is a Mishnah in the Gemara Sota that it gives a description of what the people are going to be like. This is my favorite Mishnah because, I mean, it's happening right now. And the Mishnah says what it's going to be like in the times of the footsteps of Mashiach. Oh, that's another one. That's another one. Another way that the right before Mashiach coming is described. We did night day. We did birth pangs. Now I'm going to do what's called the ikvasa de Mashiach, the akev of Mashiach, the footsteps of Mashiach. Actually, the akev is the, what's an akev? Heel. The bottom of the foot. Bottom of the foot. Okay, it's called the ikvasa de Mashiach. You hear this expression a lot. That's also a very good metaphor. What's it for? So literally, it means right before Mashiach comes. Right, because we see someone's footprints, they're there already. You know what I'm saying? They're right behind. You see footprints? You're right there. Yes. But there's a deeper understanding of the same expression. And it is like this. Before Mashiach comes, they say, people will be very, very insensitive. What's the least sensitive part of the human body? Physically. Right? The sole of the foot's like thick. Right? It's thick-skinned. Right? The heel, you could put a pin in it. Right? Put a pin in your arm, you feel it. But in the heel, I'm saying you can do a lot more damage over than anyone even feel it, right? It doesn't feel much. It's very insensitive. So they say that all of Jewish history, all of world history, is actually the body. Starts with the head, that's Adam Rishon, and as you go through history, you actually pass through the body. Down, 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 down. Until you get to the bottom of the body, which is right before Mashiach comes. That's the end. And that's the thickest, the least sensitive, But here's the strangest part. The least sensitive, you can hardly feel like a pin go into your heel. But what can you feel? A tickle. Right? Isn't that weird? The least sensitive part, it can be tickled. That's why I like to call this generation the Elmo generation, the tickle me generation. We're insensitive, but we like to be entertained. Right? That's my own chiddush. You don't have to write that down, okay? But that's one of the expressions, right? So right before Mashiach comes, we're at the bottom, the lowest part of the foot, literally means right before Mashiach comes, the footsteps. But it's a reference in a deeper way to that time as well. Okay, so let's have a look at this Mishnah together. This is fascinating. And this could be, I don't know, if you told me this was written yesterday, I'd believe it. But it wasn't. The Ekvas to Mashiach, says the Gemara, the Mishnah, chutzpah yisageh. You're going to have a lot of chutzpah. The people are going to be very chutzpahdik. Yisageh, it's going to increase. The yoker, yamir, and you're going to see that honor will decrease. People are going to be very dishonorable. So you're going to see a lot more chutzpah when Mashiach comes, and a lot less honor. Hagefen to tempriah, the vine will yield its fruit abundantly. Lots of wine will be available. Very cheap. Why that is a good question. By yam yoker, you're going to have a lot, but wine's going to be expensive. Malchut, and the leaders, the government, tapoch leminus, will turn to heresy. We're not going to be led by God-fearing people, we'll be led by heretics, whether it's the people in the entire world, or maybe an heresy stroll. Ve'entochot, and there'll be no one to offer them reproof. No one's going to tell them what to do. You'll have a bunch of disbelievers leading the Jewish people. Beis Vadi Eliznus, the meeting place of scholars who will go learn, will be used for znus, for immoral behavior. Right? Places where people study used to be high places, they're respectable. See, a lot of znus will be happening there. Vahagalil, and the Galilee, where's that? The north of Israel. The Galil, Yicharev will be destroyed. Vagavlan, there's actually difference between what the Gavlan is referring to. Some say it means the scholars of the day, and some say no, the borders of Israel will be desolate. Va'anshiagvul Yisavavo, and the people who used to live on the borders of Israel will be moving around Israel. Maybe a reference to, you know, pull out from Gaza and all the edges of Israel. Maybe this hasn't fully happened yet. But they were homeless for many, many years. And some still are. Me'ir le'ir, people are going to move from city to city. Right? Maybe it's referring to the attacks that have been coming upon Israel from Gaza. Right? And all the cities that are in Israel itself proper being attacked, they have to leave and go live elsewhere. And all these people are going to have to find other places to live in Eretz Yisrael. V'lo yechanenu. And there'll be nowhere for them to go. Not going to take any... Hey, no one's going to have any pity on them. No one's even going to care. All these Jews are schlepping around the land of Israel. V'chachamot sofrim tisrach. And the wisdom of the learned people will degenerate. People will be really smart. And suddenly even the greatest scholars will be like, low. V'yirei chet. And those who fear sin, yimasu, will be despised. Like if you say, yeah, I want to be a good Jew. I want to study Torah. I don't want to do it. Like, I hate you. They're going to hate the religious. People who aspire to be more observant, they're going to be hated. I don't think it was always that way. They were respected, you know, they were different. They're going to be hated. Vaha emet, something's going to happen to truth in general. Tehen nederet is going to be lacking. It's going to be lacking. Truth is going to be like a very little truth out there. Most of what you're going to hear in the world is going to be complete nonsense and falsehood and sheker. There'll be pockets of truth, as we'll see. Most lost. Narim pnei zakanim yelbinu. Youths, young people, will put old people to shame. It used to be that old people respected, right? Old people were chachma. Right? Suddenly the young people will be like putting them to shame. Yamdu b'pnei ketanim, and old people start to have to stand up to young people. Young people have the money and the power, and old people have to respect them. Ben menuvel av, a son will revile his father. There'll be no respect to kibbutz ever. And by the way, we'll see why this has to be. This is going to make a big gap between, or this is because of a big gap between generation to generation. Kids are going to start to hate their parents. What are we up to? Okay, finish in 2 minutes. Right? But a daughter is going to come about, a man is going to stand against her mother, kala, and a daughter-in-law, says the Mishnah, Bachamota, is going to stand up and hate her mother-in-law. I have no idea what that means. This is completely alien to me. I can't even understand what this is saying, really. Oyvei ish anshei beitzo. A man's enemies will be the people of his household. They will be fighting in households. Now follow the next verse. We're going to open up next class with this verse. So write this down. Pnei hador k'pnei hakelev. The face of the generation is going to be the face of a dog. Now what that's doing over there is very strange. We'll look at four interpretations of that. Haben enu mitbayesh ba'aviv. People, children are going to be embarrassed from their parents. The amayish and the lishayin, who are going to rely upon? Only Hashem is going to save us from this terrible situation of the generation right before Mashiach comes. Next class, we're going to pick up on this dog generation face business. Have a Shabbat Shalom. Yes.
So, one question about this.